Welcome back to another episode of Winding Ends Tide. We are very lucky tonight. We're joined by a guy that I'm saying, Joey, is one of the best anglers in the country. He does it all, this man, from the deep south to the very north. His name is Colby Lesko. Colby, welcome to Winding Ends Tide, my friend. We've been wanting to get you on for a long time, and it's great to have you on here. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, thanks, mate, and thanks for having me on. It's good to have a chat with you guys.
Yeah, no worries at all. So you're coming to us from it's actually really hard to track where you are, Colby, because one minute I'm seeing photos of giant cod, the next you're up in Queensland, the next you're at Eucanbean or somewhere like that, trout fishing. But right now, tell us about where you are.
Right now, I'm up in northern Queensland. I do have a house up here in northern Queensland and work in northern Queensland. But, yeah, I do love fishing all over Australia, and I did grow up down south, so spend a lot of time down there fishing and seeing family as well. So, and I have travelled around a fair bit over the years. But, yeah, I do love mixing it up and trying to catch everything, so that's why I kind of end up all over the place all the time. But I also do have to travel a lot for work, so that's why.
So you do actually work, because looking at your socials, it does seem like you're fishing 24/7.
Asked question I get is, do you actually work or what?
I think the first time I probably met you, Colby, was down at Portland, and I was doing a commercial boat ticket. I think you were finishing one off. So is it safe to say that you're using that in your current workplace at the moment? What are you actually? What's the gig?
Yeah, that's right. So I did do a lot of guiding over the years. And, when I saw you down at Portland, I think we were both doing our Master 5. And once I got my Master 5 and COVID hit, the kind of tourism industry crashed and there was no more work guiding. So I've taken a job driving pilot boats now, and I really enjoy that. So, yeah, the last few years I've been driving pilot boats, and it's an even time roster. So for every day I work, I get a paid day off. So at the moment, I'm 28 days on, 28 days off, which leaves me half the year to fish.
Oh.
And, it's a lot of time to fish, which is good.
Sign me up.
Dave, that's you've just been complaining about that. I think that's your kind of ticket.
Yeah, it's about work, about life fishing balance. Sounds like Colby's got it sorted out at the moment, Joey.
Bloody awesome. What sort of boats, the pilot boats, tell us a little bit about that. How big are they? And, what's an average day in driving a pilot boat?
I kind of just stumbled upon it. Like a few of the old skippers that I used to work with, one of them got me the job here. It's just driving. Our base has got four different bases across North Queensland, and they've got different boats at all the bases, but basically the biggest boat is like 21 meters long, and the smallest boat is 12 meters long, and they're just kind of inboard diesels, twin inboard diesels. Some are jets, some are props, and we actually have a boat with twin 250 outboards on it here as well that we put on and off a trailer that we have at this base. The other boat's an inboard diesel boat, and they just got like a fully sealed cabin, and we just, all the ships that transit in between the reef and in between Australia and PNG have got to have an Australian pilot go on them. So, we take the pilots out and they board the international ships and help bring them through the reef without crashing in the reef. And, I drive the boat in and out, and some days it's super busy and you're driving the boat for 12 hours, and other days it's not so busy. And, it just depends on shipping, and I really enjoy it. I never thought I'd find a job that wasn't fishing that I'd enjoy, but it is a pretty cool job, and it's an awesome part of the world, and you get to be on the water all the time. And, then I get heaps of time off to fish, which I really like.
What an amazing job. That sounds like fun. Now, the question that everyone's going to be asking is, do you sneak rods onto the pilot boats ever?
Not really on the pilot boats. We can't. But, while I'm up here working, I got a few hours every now and again here and there that we can sneak out and have a bit of a fish, and I get along pretty well with some of the local boys here. So they do take me out for a bit of a fish for a couple of hours every now and again when I get a chance. But most of the time when you're here, it's pretty much all work, and then you have your play and your time off. But it's certainly a good part of the world to be a fisherman in as well.
Yeah. So I see you out there in your tinny doing top water casting for GTs, coral trout, all sorts of cool tropical stuff. So you're towing your little tinny up from where is your little tinny down south? You're originally from Port Fairy, weren't you? Is that right?
I did live in Port Fairy for a while. I did a fisheries and aquaculture degree at Deakin in Warrnambool. I lived down there, lived down that way for a while, and then did some work down that way. But yeah, I grew up in Bacchus Marsh, just out of Melbourne, and my family's still there. So yeah, I try not to, but I have ended up towing my tinny from Cairns, from my house in Cairns to Melbourne and back, like I think three or four times over the last 3 years.
Whoa. But, unreal.
How'd your bearings go?
Big effort.
How many wheel bearings?
Actually pretty good. That's why I keep the tinny, because like as soon as you go to a bigger boat, that's just such a problem to tow it. Whereas, the tinny is still super light, and I do some good maintenance on my wheel bearings and make sure they're fine every time I go. But I've never had an issue, never been stuck on the side of the road. And just if they're a bit dodgy, I do replace them. But definitely, like that's a big factor for me is I want a boat that I can take everywhere and fish everywhere. And as soon as you get into heavy boats, it's just makes it hard, even the fuel towing them around. But
so
what is
the boat for everyone that's listening so they can get a bit of an idea?
Just a 420 Quintrex Explorer. And it's just got a 40 horsepower outboard on it. So it's pretty much just the ideal cod fishing boat. But I fish out at heaps and do a lot of barra stuff as well. And then when it is dead calm, I do enjoy going catching GTs out at just for the challenge of doing it out the tinny. And it's nice to go out and like I can drive my tinny wherever I want all day and use like maybe max 30 or 40 litres of fuel. Whereas like some of the other days when I'm fishing out my mate's bigger boat with 250s, like, some days we do 400 litres of fuel, which gets a bit excessive when you're doing it every day.
Yeah, 100%.
Colby, I love you. I've checked you out on socials in the last week. I absolutely love the GT fishing that you're doing, and it's something that I definitely want to get into myself. What time of the year and whereabouts would you recommend if I wanted to go and have a GT experience? They don't have to be huge, but just to actually go and experience it, what would you recommend?
Yeah, well, GTs are pretty awesome because they're year-round. There doesn't seem to be any time of the year where I think they're that much better than they are at any other time of the year. And the Great Barrier Reef is probably the best spot to catch them. You're not going to get massive fish, but for numbers of fish, like if you go fish the Fusilier schools, which are the bait fish up here on the Great Barrier Reef, anywhere on the Great Barrier Reef, it's like where you're going to have your best numbers of GT fishing. And you can kind of go out and once you know what you're doing, catch a dozen fish a day, kind of doing that. And there are a lot of smaller fish, like 5 to 20 kilo fish, but it's awesome fun. They're super angry and they eat the lures.
That sounds
and then
awesome.
If you did want to, if you want to try for a big one, they're more on the headlands and stuff. And your numbers of fish go right down, but you might only get one or two fish a day or one or two shots a day, but they're the bigger ones. And, they start pretty much anywhere north of there is fish at south of Harvey Bay, but, good numbers of fish start anywhere north of Harvey Bay.
Are the bigger GTs more of a seasonal thing rather than, the ones that you say you can get all year?
A little bit. They do go out to spawn in the Coral Sea over kind of the Christmas period, the really big ones, but not all of them seem to go. So you'd probably say during the middle of the year is better for big fish, but then if you can make it to the outside edge, you can get those spawning aggregations through the end of the year. But not really. You can catch them any time of the year, those big ones.
Awesome. Hey, I saw just the other day you had an absolutely epic capture. One which I would imagine is pretty rare, a sailfish on a popper. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, how that came about?
Yeah, that was super cool. I was stoked with that. I did a bit of guiding with Nomad Sports Fishing for a few years on the reef as well. Yep. And you always do see the odd sail in your travels, like sports fishing anywhere on the reef or anywhere, kind of north of Harvey Bay, you're always a chance of seeing them. And they do come into a lot of the spots where GTs and stuff are. And, you might only see two or three a year. and they often, you often just see them on the surface, but they're not interested in anything that you've got to offer. And then other times they will actually come up and look at your popper or your stick bait, but they're not quite excited enough to eat it. And yeah, I've seen a few over the years. And then last year I was actually fishing off home at Cairns there and found one. I was looking for triple tail on a glassy day on my tinny. And then I found one just zigzagging his tail along the surface. And I snuck up to him and cast the popper at him. And he ate the popper like 3 or 4 times. Like, he was pretty angry, but not quite angry enough. And he hit the popper a bunch of times with his bill and stuff, but never quite hooked up. And I never got hooks in him. And then I watched him for a bit and he lost interest and he took off. Mm. And I thought, oh, that's my chance. I've blown it. And then this year, yeah, I was just cruising out, going down the reef edge. And then I just noticed one pop up and whack a gar a few times with its bill. And then it chased after the gar. And I just had a popper ready to go again, like I always do. And yeah, just stood up, cast the popper in. And because he was just super worked up from the garfish, he just came over and like actually ate it with his mouth instead of just bill whacking it. And yeah, I managed to hook him on the popper and yeah, a few sharks got all around him and bit his sail in half, but I managed to get him in to the shallows and get him away from the sharks. And then I was, this all happened like probably 60 meters from the beach. So I, yeah, shot into the beach and got some amazing photos and yeah, super cool experience to get one on a popper like that. And then yeah, let it go on the sand. It was awesome. Probably, yeah. One of the best fish I've caught this year, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. Amazing. So, yeah, it's like you say with the poppers, like it, they're an aggressive fish, so they're going to hit them, but it's just hooking up because marlin at the best of the times are hard to hook up on a lure, but especially with a popper, I mean, even tuna and stuff tend to punt the poppers out of the way a little bit when they're trying to eat them. So I can imagine this sailfish getting a good hookup is, like you said, he probably had to be in the right mood where he was really going to engulf the lure.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Just getting them in that right mood. That's why they use teasers so much in baits, because you can just really light them right up and then they'll just smash anything. And it's just happened to be that this garfish that he'd just eaten had just fully got him lit up, like that fish that I saw zigzagging on the surface. You know, you're probably never really going to get him because he's just checking out what it is and bill whacking it and stuff. He never actually grabs it with his mouth. But, yeah, that's the first one that I've seen actually fully grab the surface lure like that, which was awesome. Just right place, right time. It's one of those things that you probably never do it again, but if you spend your whole life on the water, maybe one day you get to see it.
Well, you do seem to spend your whole life on the water, so you probably do it again.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I'm not going to complain, but if it doesn't happen, I'm happy.
Hey, Colby, I even teased up Dave myself tonight. We usually have a meal before we start podcasting, and we had a beautiful pasta dish tonight. So Dave's had about 3 bowls of pasta. I was teasing him. Now he's fully lit up, ready for this podcast. So
yeah. I'm lit up like a sailfish, like a sailfish on a popper.
Ready to pop.
Beautiful. That's good.
So while we're still in the tropical regions, so JT's coral trout, Spanish mackerel, the old sailfish, what's your absolute favourite thing to be targeting up there? Or is it just the fact that it's such a good variety of sports fish that makes it enjoyable?
Yeah, that's why I do love fishing the Great Barrier Reef, just the diversity. Like, I mainly do go out there just to catch GTs, and like in the process, change of diversity of fish species, like the reef fish, you know, the topwater lures probably aren't the best option for them to catch numbers of fish, but when they're really feeding and angry, the reef fish have absolutely no problem smashing all poppers and stick baits as well. So that's why you get heaps of trout and red bass and all sorts of stuff like that, and you just never know what you're going to get. Like that sail, I was by no means targeting sailfish, but they just rock up. And yeah, that's probably the best part about the Great Barrier Reef that I think is just the big diversity. But yeah, I definitely do love my GT fishing and do spend a lot of time doing that. There's just something about, they're like, they're just the angriest fish there is. Like, they'll just come up and destroy a popper and fight each other for it. And yeah, that's why I like them.
Yep. No, they're all very valid points. I would say that's fair enough.
Hey, Colby, have you done much in PNG, GT fishing? Have you been?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't been to PNG. No, I would like to one day.
Why is that, Joe?
I just, oh, well, you know, we've seen some good, there is some good GT there, but, you know, you're not that far away if you're already in Queensland. wouldn't be too far at all.
Yeah, well, he's got a 4.2 metre boat. He could just nip over there.
And 28 days between jobs. Very doable, Dave.
I think Joe's recommending.
Yeah, maybe I just chuck a few Jerry's in. Go for it.
That sounds good. Now, we spoke earlier, part of the reason that you're so successful and impressive in your fishing, I must say, is the variety of stuff you do. But one of the things that you probably forged a bit of a name for yourself in is the giant Murray cod, Colby. How do you feel about that fishery? It seems like it's one of your favourite things to be doing as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I just spent a lot of time on the water chasing cod over the years, and that's kind of what I grew up chasing as well. And, yeah, they live in a massive part of the country. Like, there's so much to explore. Like, I've fished for them a fair bit over the last few years, and there's still so much that I haven't even got to do. But, yeah, I do love my cod fishing. There's something about those big ones eating a surface lure. It's like, there's nothing else like them in the world, really. Like, they have the big Wells catfish, which are pretty cool as well, that come up and eat a big surface lure. But in terms of big freshwater fish, I do think they're quite impressive and quite unique to Australia. That's why I like chasing them.
Yeah.
And partly because I grew up chasing them. But, yeah, a lot of people in Australia do love their cod too.
They've really exploded in popularity in the last few years. But you're right, they are an iconic species. I mean, they're one of the largest freshwater fish in the world, as you were just alluding to, but you definitely make it a lot easier than a lot of us do, because you seem to catch a lot of them over that magic meter mark. What's the secret to your success?
It's probably just persistence. I know you guys see a lot of the photos of me holding them and stuff, but you don't see a lot of the days where I'm just standing there catching nothing. Like, it still happens to me. That's just the way cod fishing is. Everything can be right, and then they still just be assholes and don't eat a lure.
Yeah.
But, just the ability to just keep fishing through those tough times. Like, this year on the river, like previous years on the river, I have done really well and caught some big fish. And then this year I spent like 20 days on the river for 1 metery. I certainly have my fair – my fair share of tough days on the river, but I do just love fishing the river, so it doesn't bother me as much. I'm still out there. I love it. And I'm camping on the sandbars and fishing out of the boat.
One of the coolest things that I reckon I saw that you've done, and this can all be seen on your YouTube channel for everyone listening, by the way, it's just Colby Lesko. Am I right? That's the name of the channel?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
I like it, just backing yourself, just Colby, let's go. One of the really cool things you did was, and I think you've done it a few times now, is you set a couple of weeks aside and you just started at one part of the Murray River and drifted all the way down and just cast dawn to dusk and caught fish along the way. That looked like a great adventure to be had.
Yeah, definitely. That's probably one of the best trips I've ever done. Definitely the first one. The fishing was really good on the first one, and yeah, the camping was really good and I didn't get rained on, and it's just an amazing feeling, you know, to push off the river and know that you got the next whole 14 days on the water. I just really love camping on the river. So it was good because I'm always like, the more you fish, it's kind of the more you want to bloody scratch the itch. So I'd always go away for 4 or 5 day trips, but it's always like, 4 or 5 days isn't quite enough. Like, maybe you work a few things out and then by the end of the week, you're like, oh, I wish I wasn't going home or whatever. So that one, it was like super nice to just go and go as hard as I could for as long as I could. And then, after 14 days of casting dusk till dawn, like, I didn't miss a session. I just, fished the whole time. And after 14 days, it was like, yep, I think I have had enough now and I can go home and take a break. It was amazing and it was a really good trip. That's why I did it again the next year. And I probably would have done it again this year, but just the conditions weren't right. And it is, I've got a young family and stuff now, so I can't go just kind of burning 14 days to catch nothing. So I didn't do it this year.
We just got your footage up on the screen here and just noticed you'd caught a beautiful meter cod on what appeared to be a penis. A penis. A penis surface lure.
That is a classic one. That was a bit of purple. A joke we had going. Yeah.
An unhealthy penis. Yeah.
That lure actually vibrates and so the bit of a joke was we should paint one as a penis, and then we painted one, and then it actually catches fish quite well, and I've caught quite a few big cod on that one.
That's the ultimate disrespect to the poor old cod. Not only have you dragged him out of his house, you've made him you've made him eat a penis. But no, it just goes to show that when you've put the lure in the right spot and you persist. Well, I guess colour is probably not a big deal anyway to those fish, are they? They're amazing, the amount of stuff they eat. I saw one of them you caught was coughing up a turtle.
Yeah, yeah, the big garbage guts of the river. They're pretty much like any cod, really, like even estuary cod and stuff. They'll just eat whatever they can grab. It's the same as a Murray cod, like anything that gets in front of them, they'll grab it and eat it. They don't mind.
Yep. So what's your favourite location for cod fishing? Is it on the Murray, or do you prefer the impoundments? Which one's your preferred option?
No, I definitely prefer the Murray. Myself, I definitely prefer the Murray River. When it's good, it's probably the best, but it's not like after the few wet seasons we've had, it hasn't been very good at all the last few years, just because the amount of water flowing down it just reduces the clarity and makes it hard for lure fishing. But yeah, if you can get some good water on the Murray, pretty much anywhere on the Murray as well, you will have the best fishing. But it is a lot more seasonal and climatic conditions compared to the impoundments. Like the impoundments, you can pretty much go to all the time and catch fish. And I do enjoy fishing the impoundments as well. But yeah, I kind of like the challenge of trying to work out when to fish the river and where to fish the river. And the impoundments are, yeah, you can kind of just more consistently go, and they may be a little tougher than when the river's good. But yeah, they're generally, yeah, you can always go and catch a fish in the impoundments, which is good. Yeah. I do enjoy fishing. Yeah, Copeton Dam and Eildon this year was really good.
Yeah, fair enough. So it's interesting you say that, because I always had the picture that impoundments were supposed to be a bit easier. What about the introduction of LiveScope? I notice you've just started to use that a little bit. Are you climbing on board with it, or are you a bit more of a purist who prefers blind casting? What's your thoughts on that tech?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky subject for sure, definitely. I would say I definitely prefer to blind cast. Like cod are kind of my fish. I fish for a lot of fish. So if I want to just go have fun and catch fish, I'll just go catch GTs, because you can catch heaps of them. Yeah, and it's really easy. Whereas like cod are more my fish that I'm happy to devote a few days for, just to get one, just to get that real trophy fish. And I really enjoy that part of it. And, the live tech has changed it in the fact that you're no longer casting all day for that one fish. You know, you can kind of go out, use the live sonar to, you know, maybe find 5 or 10 fish a day. And, you know, if they're biting, you could possibly get 5 or so fish a day, which has kind of changed it. But I don't know. I still haven't really made my mind up on it completely. I haven't used it heaps. I haven't used it anywhere near as much as I've caught cod without it, so I am still learning it, and I don't think I'm the best at it yet, definitely. There's still a lot to learn, but it has changed it. Yeah, it's changed it a lot. I'm not totally sure yet, but yeah, that would probably be the one downside of it for me, is that it has just changed, you know, instead of going out for that one trophy fish and devoting a heap of days for it, it's kind of just, you can go out and use the live tech and get them a bit easier.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. Like I've got, like we've been, we've really half-assed it, but we've kind of been getting a little bit into the cod fishing for the last few years, and have mates that it's like, and I'll be like, you know, let's go up to Eildon, and they'll be like, well, it's pointless at the moment without live scope. Like everyone is just up there live scoping in the night, and that's how they're catching all of them. Yeah. If you go there in the day just blind casting, you know, it might, like you say, take a week to get one bite. And all these guys are getting sometimes 10 or more in an evening. So it's definitely changed the complexion of the fishery.
Yeah, that's the issue that I have with it. It's just, it's kind of made cod fishing a numbers game now. And for me, it's never, ever been that. Like I don't want to go out and catch heaps. I just want to go out and catch one. But that's just the way it's going at the moment. The advancements in technology, it's only going to get better, and they're not going to ban it. And yeah, if we want to have good anglers, we've got to have anglers that are going to use it as well. And it is just a next level better fish finder, and everybody's been using fish finders for ages. So it's like super hard to, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I guess when
and I'm not really sure. Like, everybody's got a different view on that. Like, where do you draw the line? Like, yeah.
I guess when fish finders came in, the old blokes who didn't have fish finders were probably saying similar thing, that it makes it just too easy. So maybe in 10 years some other piece of tech will come in and we'll be like, you know, LiveScope will seem like it's ancient tech, but I can't imagine it'll get much easier. Oh, not easier, but, you know, much more advanced than it already is. It's pretty insane, the stuff that's coming out at the moment.
Yeah, it definitely is, yeah. The newer models are just, yeah, the next level again. I've only got one of the first models, but, yeah, and then the other thing is you just end up staring at a screen for, like I was going out listening to the birds and blind casting for hours, which is, I do find quite enjoyable, and, you do get good at casting and stuff, and it's kind of therapeutic to go out and cast, and you get that shock of when the fish is coming, and now you find that you just go out and you're just staring at a screen for 6 hours and you might make five casts.
I
don't really like that either, but
Like, straight up, I've never caught a cod, but I've put about 5,000 casts in, and it is, you're right, it's actually really fun. Like, it's a sense of achievement when you're getting, like, you're really on point with your casting and they're just landing, you're just landing all of them, and it keeps you occupied until you get a bite, I suppose. I hope.
Yeah, that's the enjoyable part about the river too, is like, the live scope for me, well, I haven't seen anyone doing it either, is like, yeah, it's, well, the live sonar isn't that good in the river because there's just so much going on. There's so much current, there's so much logs, it's shallow. You just can't see. Whereas those open clear water impoundments, it's a really good tool to catch them. But yeah, in the river, it's just like, it's still old school, just casting at the logs. Yeah. So that's why I do enjoy my river fishing as well.
Yeah. Awesome. So we've covered the cod, we've covered the tropics. You've also been doing a heap of big trout and salmonoid fishing down in the southwest coast and up around Eucanbeen and whatnot. Is that something you enjoy as well? You seem like you've got that one nutted out pretty well as well.
Yeah. Well, that's what I grew up chasing. My old man and older brothers used to do heaps of trout fishing. So I used to do heaps of that right through when I was younger, like really young, and then kind of started chasing cod when I got a little bit older. But yeah, and then moving down and going to uni at Warrnambool for those 3 years, it's like Warrnambool's just like the trout mecca.
Yeah.
You've got Parambie, Lingamite, Bullamary, so many other smaller lakes, and then you've got the rivers that run through. So just did, like, you know, you finish uni, knock off at 4 o'clock, you can go out, you got a couple of hours left in the arbor, you can go out and catch a pretty nice trout pretty easy in Warrnambool, which is pretty amazing. So yeah, kind of got a bit more addicted to the trout down there and did a lot of it, and, you know, you spend a few years working stuff out, and now it's kind of, I can just go down there and kind of reap the rewards a little bit. I kind of know what's going on still, and just head down there when it's good and catch a few fish, which is really nice because the trout fishing down that southwest is amazing. And yeah, I've done a bit at Eucanbeen spawn run over the years and stuff. I haven't done that in a few years now. But, yeah, I do like catching trout all around Australia and New Zealand. Did trip to New Zealand just for trout and stuff. They're a cool fish, and I enjoy walking the rivers and fishing the lakes, and I enjoy catching one bent minnow too. That's probably been my favourite thing to do the last few years, is cast bent minnows at them. It's pretty cool. Watch them come up and eat it.
Yeah, the bent minnows is a bit of a revolution in the fishing industry. I've just got a photo up here of a big tiger trout, which I think you got this year. Where was that one caught?
Yeah, that's at Parambie. They've been putting the tigers in there for a few years now, and yeah, I was lucky enough that day was super windy. I was there with my brother, and I actually got snapped off on a bent minnow by a buck just like that, and I was like, oh, that's my chance. I don't know how it managed to snap me off, and then about an hour later I hooked that other one and actually got him, which was pretty awesome. But that was just fishing bent minnows over the wind blown weed beds, and yeah, the tigers are pretty aggressive, so they come up and smash the bent minnow as well. And in years gone by, when the brown trout fishing there was really good as well, me and Scotty Gray caught a lot of good ones on bent minnows there those few seasons and stuff, and it kind of revolutionized our trout fishing as well, because I don't know if it's something they'd never seen before, or the bent minnows just got an ability to pull a lot of trout in from, I don't know, seemingly further than any other lure can, which has been pretty cool.
Yeah, it's unreal. They look pretty stupid in the water, and in my opinion, the bent minnow. It's like, it's kind of like a tangled normal lure, just like spins around and splashes and, yeah, obviously just looks like a fish that's absolutely, yeah, in trouble, and the trout and everything else come and attack it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I found with trout, is like erraticness makes them angry. So like a lot of the time you'll find if you're just using like a spinner or like a bibbed minnow and you're not ripping it or anything and you just wind it, they'll just follow it all the way to your feet. They'll just put their nose on it and follow it. Whereas like you've got something super erratic that they can't really get near or get a good look at. Sometimes it just convinces them to bite, and it certainly seems that's why Tassie Devils are so good, because they swing around and wobble side to side and
yep.
just do this super erratic action. And the bent minnow is kind of like the surface Tassie Devil.
Yeah.
So it just puts another factor on it again. They can't really get a good look at it, so they just end up biting it.
Yeah. It's funny that I find it a bit like that with kingfish often. Like when you're casting top water at them, you often get the bite within the first couple of cranks after it's hit the water and it's still settling into the lure's rhythm. And the kings yep. obviously see it as being more erratic. But once your lure's swimming in a normal pattern, often they'll coast along behind it looking at it, but they've got time to analyze yep. what it is and what it's doing. And if they suspect something's off, they're not going to eat it. So I guess it's pretty similar to that sort of theory.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think kingfish are very similar. I think a big bent minnow would actually probably go really good on kingfish. I haven't had a chance to try it yet.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We've just come up with a good idea.
I definitely would be throwing them.
Don't worry, yeah, I'll edit that bit out so nobody else can try it.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so you've obviously achieved a heap in fishing. What's left for you? What's the future goal?
Yeah, I'd just like to keep catching fish, to be honest. Like, there's still a lot of stuff I want to do. I want to go to WA and do a fair bit of exploring over there. And then there's some stuff in the Coral Sea I want to go do. And then there's a few more cod rivers and dams that I've never even been to that I want to go check out. But, yeah, that's just the main goal, is just to keep fishing and catch fish. And, yeah, and then I think probably the secondary goal is eventually get to a point where that I can quit my job driving boats and just fish all the time, whether that's through YouTube or however it ends up. That would be pretty awesome as well. If I can spend even more days on the water fishing, that would be great. But, at the moment I just want to go fishing as much as I can still.
Yeah. Hey, it wouldn't be one of our podcasts if I didn't crowbar tuna into it somewhere. What about bluefin? I know you're a bluefin fan as well as we are. How do you feel yeah. about them? How do you rate them amongst all the fish that you've targeted in Australia?
Oh, I love them. Yeah, I definitely love my bluefin. A lot of the guys down south like rate the kingies higher, but I'd still rather just go out and stick bait some bluefin than chase kings. Kings just only bite 10% of the time, and 90% of the time you're just wasting your fuel. Whereas tuna, at least you can go catch them all the time. They fight awesome. They eat heaps of top water lures. Yeah.
You've echoed my thoughts, tuna. Colby. I agree with it. 100%.
Great.
Kings. Spend all day for one bite.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, kings are a great fish to go catch, and like it's very rewarding to catch one. But they're just, man, they can waste some time. Like I think about how many litres of fuel get used in Victoria chasing kings every season and get nothing. It's just crazy.
Yeah, definitely. And I find with our local kingfish, it's like, I don't know why, but for some reason in like Central Bass Strait, they're really hard to catch on lures. So trolling around a live bait all day for one or two bites potentially, when you could be out casting poppers and watching tuna come out of the water chasing them, it's bloody awesome. And yeah, you're right. People have become a bit complacent with that run of fish that we now have. But it's for international, like anyone in the world would love to experience the sort of fishing that we now get with our summer and winter projects in Victoria. Yep. Yeah. How do you handle the cold now?
I struggle. Yeah, I struggle. I like to get out of Victoria by May, but this year, like, I hadn't had any good cod fishing, so I ended up staying to like early August, and yeah, it was horrible. Like, June, July is terrible down there. I don't even know how you guys go fishing.
Yeah, I know. We
Oh, well, we haven't. we're podcasting. That's why.
Yeah, we've become armchair fishermen in this nice heated house. That's how we do it.
Yeah, and then just go hard over summer.
Well, I remember back in the day, we used to be, right now is like early snapper season, and we used to be out every night in like 3-degree cold shit weather. And we might catch one or two snapper and get home at like 3 a.m. tired. And, yeah, I don't miss those days. But you got to go through it. It builds your character and builds you as an angler. But, yeah, definitely past that phase of our lives, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's just it does get a bit hard when you look at the forecast and every day it's just windy and rainy. It makes it hard to get motivated down there, whereas like we get wind and rain, but at least it's nice and warm up here.
Yeah, well, now we know you've got a house there, we'll have to come up and visit.
Come up and catch some GTs, yeah. Tell me how you compare GTs to kingies. GTs are just like the kingie that actually bites.
Yeah, you can actually catch them. Yeah, no, that does sound pretty good. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Colby. Like I said, I really think you're one of Australia's best anglers. The variety of awesome fish that you catch and the effort you put in is to be commended. So if people want to check out your socials and YouTube channels, what do they find that under again?
Yeah, so just Colby Lesko on Instagram and YouTube, and then it's Colby Lesko Fishing on Facebook. And it's just Colby Lesko on TikTok as well. But TikTok. Yeah, thanks for the wrap there. Yeah, TikTok.
Yeah, TikToks are going good.
The new kids. Yeah, it's actually a really easy platform to grow. Like you guys would be the same. Like you got heaps of older content that can go good. Like I just put all that stuff on there and it grew pretty quick. But yeah, I don't know. Just trying to keep up with the times.
Yeah. I thought TikTok was just for like dancing to trending songs. We've been avoiding
people
getting
still like people still like seeing GT eat lures on there, so.
Oh well, we can't do that, but we can put up some sort of fishing content. Maybe we'll look into that after we get off the phone with you, Colby. But yeah, cheers for coming on, mate, and good luck with the rest of your fishing for the year and beyond. And keep up the good work, mate, and hopefully we can catch up with you sometime down the track.
Yeah, thanks heaps for the wrap, mate. And, yeah, thanks for having me on. Have a chat.
We do appreciate it. Joey, you got anything to wrap us up with here?
On you, Colby. Love your work. Thanks.
Thanks, Joey.
He's a man of
few words. No, look, mate, all I can say is Deakin University, Warrnambool, played bass in a band and we stay down there all the time. So, yeah, I can imagine all the good times you had down there, Colby. We were just musicians, good. But yeah, you would have had some good times there.
Yeah,
he would have bagged out a few times, no doubt.
You'll have to take your trout rod next time you go, Joey.
I will. They're later this year, so we'll do that.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Colby. We won't waste any more of your night. Appreciate you coming on. Have a good one, mate.
No worries, guys. Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers.